Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
All right. Well, my name is Katie Brinkman. I am one of the pastors here at Canvas Church. I am Pastor Ben's wife, and I'm excited to speak in our building for the very first time. What in the world? First time up here speaking. It's awesome. I'm excited. So turn with me to Galatians 5. We've been in our series For Everyone, which has been going through the book of Galatians, and we're going to continue with that today. We're going to conclude it. Pastor Ben's going to conclude it next Sunday. But if you're here this morning, and maybe you have your app open, but if you are one of those that prefers to take notes with on paper, pen, you want it physically in your hand, you want to write those notes out, you can just slip your hand up and our ushers will bring you those notes on paper for you today. And anytime you come into service, you can just stop at the info center and the info table out there and you can pick those up. So those are going to be out on the table for you every Sunday, so you can just drop in, pick those up. But if you don't have those on you right now, just keep your hand up until the ushers make their way to you and they will get those into your hands. Galatians 5, we're going to start reading in verse 16. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, if you're in the app, the version that's on there right now is Holman Christian Standard. I'm reading out of the NIV, and so you can switch over to NIV if you'd like. Verse 19, it continues. It says, now, so we see here that it's talking about the flesh and the Spirit. Okay, so Paul is saying there's some conflict happening, and the conflict is between the flesh and the Spirit. So real quick, we're going to just look at what does he mean by that. So flesh, and we're going to have it pull up on the screen for you. I know I'm totally confusing the people in the back right now, but just flip over to the slide that says flesh. Flesh, Paul is talking about the flesh. Just look, the flesh, right? And the flesh, it denotes mere human nature, the earthly nature of man apart from the divine influence, apart from God's influence. Therefore, the flesh, the human nature that is prone to sin and opposed to God. And then on the other side, he's talking about Spirit. So there's conflict between flesh and conflict between the Spirit. And when he says Spirit here, he isn't talking about Casper, the friendly ghost. He isn't talking about the aura in the room. He isn't talking about a feeling that you feel. He is referring to the third person of the Godhead. He is referring to the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father, with the Son. So there is conflict that's happening in our life, and it's between the flesh and between the Spirit. Let's continue in verse 19. So we see that the conflict, and I love that he doesn't leave us to try to figure out what does this conflict look like? What does the whole flesh side of things look like? What does the whole Spirit side of things look like? He spells it out for us. He says the acts of the flesh are obvious. They're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and the like. It doesn't just put a period after the end of the list, but it says, and the like. So anything like those things, that's part of the flesh right there. But, everybody say but. Come on, say it louder. Everybody say but. All right, you're awake this morning. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that we can come together and worship you and hear your word. And Holy Spirit, we just say, speak to us this morning. Have your way. Lead us, guide us, minister to us in only the way that you can today. Lord, help me to communicate everything that you've placed on my heart this morning and open our hearts that we might receive it. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. How many of you, when you were younger, maybe you were at a party or at the beach or a picnic, and everybody said, come on, everybody, grab a partner. We're going to do a three-legged race. Anybody out there? Have you ever done the three-legged race? Youth ministries stopped doing the three-legged race because of things like, you know, minor things like broken ankles, you know, sprained ankles, things like that, you know. But you remember doing the three-legged race, right? You'd get your partner, you'd stand next to each other, and then somebody would come around with a rope, and they would tie your legs together. So one of your legs, you stand side by side, they'd tie that together. And then somebody would be out there and they would either have a flag or maybe they had a whistle or maybe they just shouted one, two, three, go. And on that shout of go, you start running. And the goal is to get to the finish line first before any of the other pairs get to the finish line. And the first pair to get to the finish line wins the race, right? But how many of you have been partnered with someone and it wasn't fun? Have you ever been there? My poor husband, because of his height, it's never fun to be in a three-legged race with anyone shorter than him. We should have you and Pastor John Bohr do the three-legged race together at camp because they're both the same height, and then we could really, that'd be fun. But the three-legged race can be a lot of fun, right? It's meant to be fun. It's meant to be a game. It's meant to be played together and compete and get to the finish line and have a good time, maybe get a trophy. Have you ever seen a three-legged race trophy? I haven't, but that'd be interesting. We should make one up. But you know what? A lot of times a three-legged race is difficult. It's hard. It's frustrating. And your friend that you're partnered with may not be your friend at the end, right? Because you're like, why are you going like that? Why? No, you're not supposed to step like that. And it's frustrating, and you fall, and you skin your knee, and you twist your ankle because you're not keeping in step with one another. But when you keep in step with one another and your cadence is together, man, it's fun, right? You look around and you're like, psh, we got this. And you get to the destination, you get to the end, you get the prize, you win the race, right? And it's a whole lot of fun. Well, Paul is coming to us and he's saying, hey, this journey of faith that you're on is meant to be a fun one. It's meant to be enjoyed. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. That sounds like a fun life. That sounds like an enjoyable life, right? But you know what? He knows that there are some things that can prevent it from being a whole lot of fun. And that's when we're not in step with the Holy Spirit. When we get out of step with the Holy Spirit, it gets hard. It gets difficult. It gets frustrating. And we try to do it all in our own strength. But this journey of faith was meant to be lived in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and in step with the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to take a look at this passage and see how do we keep in step with the Holy Spirit? Now, I remember this moment. Those of you that don't know our whole story, my whole story, go to Growth Track, check it out. You'll hear about more of our personal journeys of faith. But I didn't grow up in the church, and so I came to know about Christ through some friends that were in my life, and one of those friends was my husband, Ben, and he's actually the one that led me to Jesus. But I remember one night in particular, I had been going to church a few times and learning about Christ, and I knew how desperately I needed the Lord in my life. But I didn't know, you know, what that meant. I didn't know how to do it, all this stuff. And so I remember we were having this conversation, and Ben turned to me and said, well, Katie, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? And I started weeping in that moment because I knew that I so desperately needed Christ in my life. But honestly, if I'm really honest, I was like, how do you do that? How do I ask Jesus into my heart? Like, come on, Jesus. Come on in, you know? Like, I didn't get it. It didn't make sense to me. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so he said, oh, well, let's you know, here's what this means. He began to talk to me about how praying a prayer and just simply saying, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. Be the leader and the Lord of my life. And so I prayed that prayer. And in that moment, how many of you know it wasn't Jesus that descended from the heavens on a cloud and came and crawled into my heart? All right? It was the Holy Spirit. In that moment of salvation, it was the Holy Spirit came and took up residence in my life and in my heart. And so as Paul's talking to the Galatians, he's talking to believers, people that have surrendered their life to Jesus, that have the Holy Spirit inside of them. And he's saying, look, as a believer, there's still conflict that you're going to go through in this life. There's still that human nature, even though you've crucified it, even though you've said no to it, and you've asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, and you're allowing him to lead and guide your life, there's still moments when that flesh is going to try to rise up and take over. When it's going to try to take control. And when it does, it's very clear that it's doing so because these are the things that you see happen in your life. But when the Spirit is leading your life, there is fruit that is seen on your life. And so as we talk about this, we see the conflict between this. And Paul was very familiar with the conflict. He actually talks about it in Romans 7:15. Paul himself is saying there are times when I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what to do. For what I want to do, I do not do. What I hate, I end up doing. Has anybody, as a believer out there, willing to admit that there are moments when you know the right thing to do and you end up not doing it? Anybody out there? There's some honest people in this church. Come on. Good for you, Canvas Church. Yes, I've been there too. Moments when I know I need to be kind to that person, but they have pushed one too many of my buttons. You know what I'm talking about? We had the opportunity, our daughters play basketball, and our youngest daughter is in this journey of trying to figure out how to allow the Holy Spirit to lead her even on the court. And to not give in to what, you know, you want to do in your flesh sometimes. And, when she plays basketball, sometimes it's a mental game that players play. I mean, you know that. It's a mental game. And they try, you know, Octavian, I'll talk to you because you know what I'm talking about. They try to get in your head and you throw a wrong pass and then they're like in your face and like, oh, that was the stupidest pass ever. And they start talking to you and like getting in your ear, trying to get in your head, you know. And then they say things that shouldn't be said by anyone, much less a teenager. Cussing at her, saying all this stuff to her, and she is just doing her best to be out on that court and just, and I can see it when she, I see this, she's taking these deep breaths, and I'm like, come on, baby, let the Holy Spirit lead you, and there were moments, that one of the games in particular, I could tell this one player was just getting right in her and just trying to get in her head, and I just turned to somebody, and I was like, man, when I was young, I wasn't a Christian. And when they did that to me, I'll tell you what I did. I was like, oh, you know, take that, you know, and you'll stop talking to me like that, you know. But there's a battle. And how many of you know there are moments when kindness isn't the natural response? My flesh doesn't want to be kind to this person. When gentleness or peace or joy, when things happen in life and we know what we should do, we know how we should respond in a situation, but it's difficult and our flesh wants to respond in an opposite way than the way the Holy Spirit would want us to react or respond in circumstances. But Galatians 5:16 and 17 says there, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And he's talking to Christ's followers. He's talking to believers. And since we live by the Spirit as Christ's followers, we've got to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And so in order to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we've got to first recognize that the battle is not external. The battle is internal. The conflict that we go through as Christ followers, it's not an external thing. It's not about that person on the court that's, you know, it's internally how are you going to respond to that? And there's it's an internal conflict that's taking place. But sometimes human nature is we see a list like this, the list of the works of the flesh and the list of the fruit of the spirit. And then we try to go out and do it on our own, right? We try to change the behaviors, our outward behaviors, to line up with what we see in the fruit of the spirit. We try to, okay, I'm just going to stop being angry and I'll have more joy in my life, right? I'm going to stop being mad and bitter at that person. I'm going to choose kindness, right? We try to change the behavior, but Jesus always brings it back to the heart, doesn't he? It's about an inward conflict. It begins with the desires in our life. And James 1:14 and 15 talks about this, that sin doesn't start with the behavior. But so many times we try to stop the behavior. But what we've got to do, we've got to go back and begin at the thoughts, begin at the desires. It says that we are dragged away by our own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So this battle, this conflict that we go through as Christ followers is an inward one. It's one in on the inside, and it begins with our thoughts, it begins in our heart, it begins with our desires. Psalm 119:11, and you can just write that down, it's not going to be on the screens for you, but Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word, where? In my heart, that I might not sin against you. We have hidden his word in our heart that we might not sin against you. And John 14:16 says, it says, I will ask, this is Jesus talking. I love this. Jesus is talking. He says, this is when he's like wrapping this whole thing up with the disciples, right? He's kind of wrapping it up and he's like, he's getting ready to ascend to heaven. And he says, this is important. I want you to listen here. I will ask the Father and I will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, will be in you. It's an internal battle that we go through, but we've got the Holy Spirit. I love it. Jesus didn't, you know, walk the earth, do all the miracles and things that he did, teach all the things that he taught, and then ascend to heaven and be like, all right, good luck, everybody. Peace out. Figure it out on your own. No, he said, look, guys, it's actually to your advantage if I leave, because the life that you're going to live, this life, this journey of faith is not meant to be lived working on outward behavior modification, but it's meant to be lived with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. So I got to go so that I can send him to you, not just to be with you and to walk alongside of you, but to dwell in you. That's such a powerful thing, you guys. We've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And so when the flesh wants to rise up, we've got the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. And as we submit to him and surrender to him and surrender those thoughts, surrender those desires to him, he does a work of inward transformation in us. And therefore, fruit comes forth from our lives. So to keep in step with the Spirit, we've got to recognize it's not external. We can't just change the outward behaviors. We've got to allow the Spirit of God to take lead inside of us, to transform our heart, transform our thoughts, transform our desires. But secondly, to keep in step with the Spirit, we've got to stay connected. We have got to stay connected. This is interesting as we read it, if we hear the terminology that Paul uses. The works of the flesh or the acts of the flesh are obvious. Here's what they are. The fruit of the Spirit is this. Now, just think about those words for a moment. Works or acts. That sounds like work, doesn't it? It sounds like there's effort. And the result of the flesh being at work in our life are the things that are listed here in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit, and then he says fruit of the Spirit. It's interesting, isn't it? We've got work, but then we've got fruit. And think for a moment of an orange tree. We live in San Diego. We've got orange trees all over the place. We've got orange trees on our property. Now, I don't look out into my yard and see that orange tree and look and see a branch out there being like, I'm about ready to produce some fruit. I gotta work on it. The branches aren't like pumping iron. They're not working hard. I don't see them toiling. And then all of a sudden, boom, a fruit just suddenly appears. No. The fruit on the orange tree naturally develops because of the life that is flowing through the tree to the branches, right? But as Christ followers, sometimes it's almost easier because we are in control. That's the flesh talking right there, wanting to take over, right? Be in control, see results. We want to work at it. And when we do that, we end up back in legalism. We end up back just coming under the law. The law, what the law was good for is to tell us how we ought to live. But the Spirit is the one that empowers us to live that way. But here we sometimes get into this place of just trying to work it out. And we're like the branch on that orange tree, pumping iron, thinking that somehow if we just work hard enough, if we just do enough, if we just conform enough, and if we just do this or do that, then suddenly, bing, here's gonna be an orange on my branch. But no, he uses the word, the fruit of the Spirit. And fruit develops, doesn't it? And it comes forth from the life that flows in that tree. The terminology that he uses here in verse 18, he says, but you are led by the Spirit. And it's so interesting when you look at the word choices that are used in the Bible, but he says you are led by the Spirit. And I don't know about you, I'm just so glad that he didn't say, if you follow the Spirit, then. Because following and led are very different. Okay, so it's like this. Imagine for a moment the follow, okay? We've got to follow the Spirit. Who's in control there? Who has to work there? You can talk back to me. It's me, right? Yeah, so imagine if we're all, I say, come on everybody, we're gonna go to Del Mar Beach after service. We're gonna go surf. We're gonna get your feet in the sand, whatever. And we're gonna have a good time. And I know this beach in particular where you can find parking, and it's amazing, even during the summer, okay? But there's no address, so you just have to follow me, okay? Siri's not gonna help you, you have to follow me. And I hop in my car, and I get out on the road, I turn, and there's like 5, 10, 15, maybe 50 of us wanna go to the beach, and you're trying to follow me. I'm the lead car. Maybe think like, did anybody watch car racing, like Daytona 500 or something like that? That's probably the way it would be, where you're just trying your best to follow Katie to the beach, and you hopefully have somebody in the car next to you that you're like, keep your eye on her. It's a silver Kia Soul. Watch the silver Kia Soul. And you get on the freeway and you're like, there's 15 silver Kia Souls on the freeway. Which one am I supposed to be watching, you know? And you're working really hard and you're trying really hard to keep up. And I get to a stoplight and it's yellow and I think, oh, I'm good. And I go through it forgetting that there's 15 of you following behind me. And so then I end up at the beach and here I am. I'm enjoying it. I'm like, where'd everybody go? I guess they decided not to come. And you're all frustrated, fighting with each other in the car because you tried your best to follow Pastor Katie to the beach, but it didn't pan out. You worked really hard at it, but it didn't work out. But then we've got this word led. Be led by the Spirit. So that's kind of what I picture when I think of trying to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. But when we imagine being led by the Spirit, it's like a train. It's like a train. And at the front of every train is a locomotive. How many of you parents have kids that like Thomas the Train? Yeah, that show? Well, every train, there's a locomotive at the front. And it's the locomotive that has the power, that provides the power to the entire train. And as long as each one of those cars are connected to the locomotive, they're going to end up to their proper destination. They're gonna get there. And guess what? There's not a whole lot of effort that they have to put into it. All they gotta do is take off those brakes and just guide along with that locomotive. That's what our life as Christ followers is meant to look like, as we are led by the Spirit. because it is the Holy Spirit that empowers. It is the Holy Spirit that provides the power in this Christian life to follow Him and not give in to the fleshly desires, not give in to some of those attitudes you might struggle with from time to time. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us, and He lives within us. And there is nothing that He cannot do. And the scripture actually says here in John 15, verse 5, it says this, John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But it doesn't stop there, it doesn't put a period. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, it's gonna be a whole lot of striving. Apart from me, there's gonna be a whole lot of just trying to modify behaviors. Apart from me, the Christian life looks like a whole lot of lists of do's and don't do's. Apart from me, you can't do it. Apart from me, there's no way you're gonna fulfill the law. But if you remain in me, you stay connected to me, come on. There's life, there's fruit, and it says there's much fruit. There is much fruit. There's much fruit. But you know what? I realize that there are times in my life when I don't feel or sense, or maybe I just struggle with faith and believing that the Holy Spirit is with me. Is anybody else there? Some from time to time? Maybe you just don't, you know, you don't feel the presence of God. You're searching for direction and answers, and you just don't feel it. That's why I love the image of the train. Because as long as we're connected, sometimes you might not feel like you're connected to the locomotive, but as long as you're connected to other believers, because sometimes the cars on the train are further back and they're just connected to another car on the train. And there are times in life as Christ followers and you may not feel it. You might be struggling, you might be going through it, but that's the power of community. Because the Bible says that wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He's what? He's right there. And so sometimes on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday afternoon, you might be going through something. You might get a diagnosis from the doctor. You might encounter a situation in a relationship, and you might be struggling to see the Spirit's leading. You might be struggling to sense the presence of God in your life. You might be struggling to know which direction to turn. And that's why you need Christ followers to come alongside of you and say, no, you're all good. We're connected. We're connected to each other. We're connected to the locomotive. The Holy Spirit's got you, He's got us, and we're gonna get where we're intended to go. Amen? Amen. So we've got to stay connected to Him. We've got to stay connected to one another as Christ followers. Bands, go ahead and come on up. That way I can finish. And staying connected is something that I think we complicate sometimes. It's really easy. We stay connected with Christ, we stay connected with the Holy Spirit, the same way we stay connected in relationship with each other, spending time with Him, gathering together with the saints because His presence is right there, spending time in prayer, praying, that communication with God, that communication with the Holy Spirit, and those moments of reading the Word, just simple ways that we stay connected. But the power of staying connected with other Christ followers, the power of staying connected to the Holy Spirit. The other way that we keep in step with the Spirit is by walking by faith. Walking by faith. In Galatians 3:2, it says, Paul, this is earlier on in the book of Galatians, he's talking to him and he says, I just wanna learn this one thing from you. Just this one thing I wanna learn. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? How did you start this thing? You know, he takes them back. Hey, how did you start? Because the way that you started is the way that you're going to continue to keep in step with him. And it's by faith, believing his word, believing what it says. And it says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, in this flesh that sometimes I struggle with, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by faith. I live this life. I live this journey of faith. I keep in step with the Holy Spirit by faith, believing that what Jesus did for me on the cross was enough, believing that when he ascended to heaven, he left his Holy Spirit to dwell within me, to empower me to live this life of faith, by believing, by faith. And sometimes when we struggle with this faith, we've just got to get more of the word in us, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. And so if you're here today and you're struggling with faith, and it's the very thing that's preventing you, and you're struggling with that, and it's keeping you from staying in step with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, because you know that three-legged race thing? The Holy Spirit's with us in this life. He's in us, empowering us to live this life. But like that three-legged race, you might be side by side with each other, but you know, someone always has to take the first step. One of the two has to decide who's gonna take the lead, right? And then this faith journey, we just gotta get in that three-legged race with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, this is your thing. You be the locomotive. You take control. You take the lead. You take the first step. Lead me, guide me in this journey of faith so that I might be empowered to live this life that you've called me to live, because a Spirit-led life is a Spirit-empowered life. The Spirit-led life is a life that produces fruit, and it just naturally comes forth in your life. You don't have to strive at it. You don't have to work hard at it. You don't have to... Some of us have those scriptures on our mirror, things on our board at home, and we're just trying so hard, we put them all around so that we can remember to do this right. He says, no, just let go. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. Let me empower you. Let me work through you and watch and see what I can do. Some of us are trying so hard to get that fruit to produce. Some of us want to see the fruit overnight, but come on, can I tell you, fruit develops over time. It develops over time. Let's stand to our feet this morning. There are many things that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit does, many names that are given to him. He's our advocate. He's the one that convicts us of sin. He's the one that helps us in times of need. He's the one that comforts us when we're going through challenging times. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that empowers us. And Lord, today we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you sent your Holy Spirit to live within us, to empower us on this faith journey. And maybe you're here this morning and you are recognizing that you might be one of those that you've just been striving and you've been trying to work really hard. And it's been more about outward behavior modification than it's been about the inward transformation of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you're here this morning, you just recognize, I just need the Holy Spirit to take over. I need him to take control. I need him to take the lead. I need him to help me, because I've tried to do this thing on my own and in my own strength, and it's just not working out. With everybody's eyes closed, if that's you here this morning, you would say, you know what, Katie, I identify with this, and I realize I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I need him to take the lead of my life. Can you just shoot your hand up in the air if that's you this morning, so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah, I'm with you. You can put your hand down. Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done today. We thank you for ministering to each one of us. God, we thank you that Holy Spirit, you are the one that empowers us. You are the one that leads us and guides us. And Lord, those of us that raised our hand this morning, we just say, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us for allowing the flesh to lead the way. Lord, forgive us to trying to take this faith journey in our own hands and try to work out our salvation in a way that was just led by the flesh. Lord, forgive us for that. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you in our lives and we say, Holy Spirit, take the lead. Holy Spirit, take control. Holy Spirit, empower us and bear much fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, God's good.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.